Time for another Zoomer on the Midweek Drive for Siren Radio and southsidebroadcasting.podbeam.com. Keeping the COVID-19 bugs at bay.
Well, it's fair to say that as far as the University of Lincoln is concerned, Ellie Sumter is very, very keen to actually ensure that one day Dr. Alex George will actually come and actually, if not meet the students, then maybe actually connect via Zoom or various other bits and pieces. I said that right at the start, Alex, because I felt it's important to realise that there's a big fan-dom range of Alex George fans throughout the Lincoln area. So good to connect with you today. How are you?
Oh, thank you. That's so kind to hear. I appreciate it. I've had a lot of support, particularly over the last 6 months or so from all the way around the country, and I appreciate that hugely to everyone that's living around there.
Oh, very much so. You have been a hero in so many ways, almost as much as a hero, it has to be said, as Fitbit's Lucy Sheehan, the marketing director, of course, of Fitbit UK, which is the focus of this particular interview. How are you, Lucy?
I'm very good, thank you.
Excellent. So, I mean, we'll come to you first, Lucy, because clearly exercise is good for you. Laziness is not. But somehow with the pandemic, with all sorts of other issues, stresses, strains and so on, I'm not sure whether there is such a thing as a COVID dividend. But is this something in which actually Fitbit users can actually address the sedentary lifestyle? I mean, we've already heard about comorbidity factors and other issues with respect to that. Is it a case of people are just exhausted? Busted by the whole thing. They can't even think about fitness, let alone actually sort of improving their fitness routines.
Well, actually, I think the really interesting thing and the good news is that we've seen through our research is that the pandemic has actually encouraged more and more people to take their personal health and wellness a lot more seriously. Around two-thirds of the UK, not just Fitbit users, but two-thirds of the UK population from our survey results say that they're actively paying more attention to it. So that's got to be a really good thing. When we look at the Fitbit data, we can definitely see that people are not just thinking about it, but are taking action to improve sleep and activity levels. So it's all good news.
Alex, since that day, of course, in March, which people look back to now, probably with all sorts of other views and such like, with respect to obviously the pandemic and so on, have you noticed, I mean, clearly you've been at the sharp end of the sort of the support and the sort of treatment with respect to COVID, but have you actually sort of seen quite clearly that the nation is almost on its knees at present when it comes to mental and physical health?
I think certainly, you know, this pandemic has been quite long and tiring for all of us. I think from the statistics that Fitbit have gathered, 50% of us are more stressed, and I think that I think most of us, in fact, would actually say that it has impacted us in some way. It's been a very challenging time, whether on the front line or whether you're isolating at home, whether you've been shielding at a certain point during the pandemic. It's challenging for all of us, and I think that's why now it is actually more important than ever to look after your mental and physical health. You know, even though we feel, oh gosh, I'm fed up with this, we actually need to kind of regroup ourselves and do what we can as individuals, as communities, as families, to take care of each of us and ourselves as well. And some of these things, ultimately, they're little factors that build up into a bigger picture. So, you know, I will talk about the 360-degree view of health, the idea that, you know, your what you eat, your sleeping habits, your sexual health, your relationship health, your financial health, and, you know, all these kind of factors, you know, play into ultimately how you feel and how well you are as a whole. So doing little things like making sure you're out, getting time outdoors, that you're creating a routine in your days, so that you've got separation between work and home life, even if you are using the same space, making sure that you're trying to eat as healthily as you can and you get good sleep. You know, all these factors come together as little bits to hopefully, you know, keep you resilient and feeling well, particularly moving into the second kind of wave.
Clearly, Joe Watkins was somebody who actually came to the fore with respect to that, and I'm sure that he should be using Fitbit if he isn't, but what the hey, I'll just put that in there. 140% year-on-year increase in practicing yoga, though. I mean, Lucy, is that something which you were surprised about, or are we all ultimately trying to achieve the ultimate lotus position?
Maybe there's a little bit of that in there as well, but I think because, you know, we are seeing this increased level of stress, people are turning to more mindful exercises to help, you know, improve not just their physical health, but really their mental health. And exercise such as yoga, Pilates, mindfulness can really help in terms of decreasing our overall stress levels. You know, whether you're aware of stress on a daily basis or whether you're feeling overwhelmed by it, you know, exercises like yoga can really help us to tune into our body and, you know, help before things become really kind of too much, if you, you know, in stress terms.
And Alex, here in Lincoln, of course, like many other universities, we're having students who are having to self-isolate. They're having to separate from that point of view. What advice would you give to young folk in that sort of teenage and sort of early 20s age bracket, where actually this is something that they certainly have never experienced before? And indeed, actually keeping body and soul together as well as doing their studies can be a very big challenge.
Absolutely. Now, first thing I would say to not only to students in Lincoln, but anyone really who's studying at the moment, going to university, it's such a, you know, I take my hat off to you guys, because it's such a challenging time. You know, going to university is very exciting, but it's also brings its stresses as well. I can remember how nervous I was kind of settling in. You add the pandemic in as well, and you think, you know, it's challenging. And I think, first of all, recognizing that and going, do you know what, this is not easy what I'm going through right now, and recognizing that. And reaching out around you to not only your family and friends at home, because a lot of people are going to be away from home, but creating some bonds with the people that you're with there. Most people will be forming some sort of support bubble or bubble with the people, for example, in their hall of residence, and trying to find connections and common ground with people that you might not expect is something that I think is really profound at the moment. You know, I think there's much more that connects us and divides us generally with people. So give people the time. You know, you think sometimes, oh, I come to this hall, I don't know if I get on with these people. You know, give people a chance throughout this time. You know, give people a chance to make, you know, friends. And you'll find you particularly throughout what's going on now, you'll create bonds and friendships that will last for a lifetime, because you'll have a shared experience that will be incredibly powerful. But look after yourself, reach out to university representatives. There is mental health support. There is tutor support in all of the universities, as I understand. And also, don't forget, very importantly, make sure you register with your local GP. A lot of students forget to do that. But when you need help, you'll need to be able to access your GP as well. So please, please, please do that.
And Lucy, in terms of Fitbit UK, what are the sort of key things that folk can actually do who are listening to this, which will effectively sort of mean that they're better prepared for the second wave, and who knows, maybe even third and fourth waves when it comes to their general health?
Yeah, I think it's really about making small, manageable changes. And a lot of that starts with just tuning into your body. You know, start each day with just a few moments to think about how you're feeling, both physically and mentally. And then as you go through your day, I think there are small things, really manageable things that you can easily do that can make a big difference. So things like taking an hourly screen break. I use the reminders to move on my Fitbit every hour to just get up and move away from my computer. You know, I like to take a little wander around the garden and just try and be a little bit more active. It's good for the body, it's good for the mind. And also things like paying more attention to your sleep patterns. We know now that sleep has a huge impact on our overall health, mental well-being as well. So doing things like, for example, I like to set a bedtime reminder so that I've got a really regular kind of sleep rhythm and sleep cycle. And what I've seen is my sleep score increase, and I'm getting more deep sleep. And it's those kind of things that are really going to help us to have more physical and mental resilience to get through what is no doubt ahead of us.
And of course, you can look at the Fitbit Versa family of smartwatches, the Fitbit Sense, the Fitbit Charge 4. There are so many Fitbits here. It's amazing we're not sort of fully fit. We are getting there. That's the important thing. Alex, there's sometimes a part of me which says, wouldn't it be just easier, a bit like bears, we just went into hibernation when the autumnal years, the seasons went back, and we just went into some sort of suspended animation for a wee while? Or is that just too naive?
It's an interesting thought, isn't it? Just freeze time, wait for this all to blow over. Yes. I know. I certainly felt like that myself at times, especially, you know, facing potentially, you know, the hospitals becoming much, much busier. I can kind of relate to that. But unfortunately, we can't. And actually, if we did just hide away, I think, you know, fully, and we wouldn't actually be feeling very well at all. So, no, we need to look after ourselves. I'm optimistic. Let's be positive. We will get through this. It is a difficult and challenging time, but we are a resilient bunch as a human race. We'll get through it, and we'll come out the other side. And us Brits as well, we'll get through it. We're going to stiff upper lip and look after each other, and we'll get through.
Precisely. Fitbit.com, presumably the best place to go to find out further details about the Fitbit survey and so on. And clearly, given your Instagram account, at Dr. Alex George, well worth following in awesome ways. I mean, I'm sure we'll double that 1.5 million up to 3 million before too long, Alex, if only sort of from the citizens of the East country, etc. Two final questions for both of you. Have you both had a reasonably interesting telephonic Zoomer with us today? Alex first.
It's been a good Zoom call. It's interesting as now we moved again, it changes in the way that we work, and not working from the studio, working from Zoom. It's amazing how tech can help us, isn't it? It's very impressive.
Absolutely. My point precisely. And from your own point of view, Lucy, has it been good for you?
Yeah, absolutely. As Alex said, where would we be without Zoom these days?
Probably in a dark corner, rolling backwards and forwards, sucking our thumbs, but maybe not. We won't go there. Dr. Alex George and Lucy Sheehan, Marketing Director of Fitbit UK, huge thanks. Stay safe, people, and I'm sure we'll speak again soon. Bye for now. So the top things wine drinkers look for when purchasing are, in order, price, smooth taste, and origin, with 41% of people actually preferring smooth and fruity wines. Now, to actually address this issue, not our usual wine expert, of course, William Sidwell, but somebody who is even more exciting. He does all sorts of things, including actually hosting the Top Gear of Drinks, according to many critics on Amazon Prime. We're delighted to welcome TV host and wine expert extraordinaire, it's AD Smith. How are you, AD?
Hello there. I'm doing quite well, thank you. I've got a little bit of market research going on later while I'll be tasting through 200 wines. So it's a good day. It's a good day.
Well, exactly so. Now, in terms of this particular aspect, it's relating to Cabernet Sauvignon. And in terms of that, it's one of the world's most widely recognized red wine grape varieties. But for many of us, we kind of get a bit scared when it comes to wine and all of the kind of fancy terms that you put together on that basis. So how would you describe Cabernet Sauvignon?
Cabernet Sauvignon, I think that it's, well, first of all, it's one of the most produced grape varieties across the world. And so there are so many different styles of it. You know, if you go to New Zealand, to South Africa, to California, you're going to get a completely different wine. The one thing that it does have in common is that more often than not, it's got a wonderful smooth taste to it, which really hits the nail on the head with the research that's been done as well. But you're right, wine is daunting and there's thousands of different grape varieties out there.
I mean, you're certainly doing your bits to actually make it much more accessible, AD, and indeed kudos to you for doing that. But ultimately, let's talk about, you know, people's preferences. It seems that most folk actually prefer smooth wines.
They do. And I think the first thing to hit kind of figure out here is smooth taste. That is part of what I call a mouthfeel. But a lot of people would think, you know, AD, what on earth is mouthfeel? So first of all, we need to kind of explore that. And there's three different mouthfeel factors that I like to talk about. The first one is acidity. And imagine that you're, you know, drinking a white wine and you get some tartness. It's almost like a lemon flavor. Or it could be a red wine and you drink it and it's almost like an underripe red berry. So that tartness is what we call acidity. And it can be present in both white or red grapes. The next one is called tannin. And tannin is a compound that comes from the grape skin that goes into the wine when, you know, you're actually drinking it in the glass. And the best way to describe this is imagine putting a tea bag and a mug of hot water for way too long, then taking a sip of it. And it kind of draws all the moisture out of your tongue. That is actually tannin going on there. But the third one, and what relates most to, you know, this research in terms of mouthfeel, is smoothness. And the best way to describe that is imagine melting a block of milk chocolate, mixing it with a little bit of cream, and then just drinking it. And it's that beautiful velvety feeling in your mouth as it goes across your tongue and then down into your throat. That is smoothness. So it's easy to see why people out of the three of those would prefer it.
Are we naturally conservative when it comes to wine? Is it a case of some people say, well, I don't know much about wine, but I know what I like, and therefore I'm not going to actually move beyond three types of wine. Look, three drinkers, that's the TV series, so therefore we'll have three types of wine, that's it.
More often than not, that is exactly the case. And I think people find their comfort zone. They know what they like. They are able to explain those wines to their nearest and dearest within their circle. But honestly, my biggest piece of advice to people and what I'm really trying to do is get people to just broaden their horizons, go out there and explore something new. And I find that one thing, very few people in this country actually drink at a mid-tier range are Californian wines. And based on all this research that I've spoken about here, I've tried to go out there and, for me, source out the smoothest possible wine I can. It's taken me over to California. It's taken me to Cabernet Sauvignon, and it's a wine called Apothic Cab. And that, for me, right now, is the smoothest wine people can get in their glasses.
Sometimes people almost sort of delight in their snobbery when it comes to wine. Obviously, present company accepted with respect to that. And I think California has been one of those places which people have taken time to see. It's not like France, it's not like Italy, it's not like Spain and so on in terms of line from that. I mean, Australia obviously suffered badly for this. And even given climate change, I think parts of Britain are kind of faced with really a wine from that point of view. Do you find that, you know, the very fact it's being associated with California, say, but they have forest fires over in California, they can't be making wine as well?
I think that the heat that is in California, and really sadly, it does end up in things like forest fires. At the same time, it's that heat and that sun power which makes these wines so beautiful. And if you look at the grapes on the vines, they're so concentrated and so full of flavor because of that sun. I think that in general, people don't typically understand these areas of the world as much as they do as Europe. And you're right, you're spot on. There is a lot of snobbery that still goes on in wine. But I'll be honest with you, most of that is still within Europe. You do not see as much of it when you go to the likes of Australia, New Zealand, USA, even Britain. I mean, we're making some fabulous sparkling wines here now, I must say.
And indeed, Apothic and its own brand blending the old world intrigue with modern sophistication. Apothic.co.uk, presumably, AD, is the place you'd point people to actually find out more details about Apothic Cab.
Yep, and you can get it from most of the major retailers in the UK. It's £9.50. So for me, it hits that sweet spot of midweek wine, £10, best value quality ratio.
See, that's clearly why I would say that in terms of the three drinkers, if you're looking at Three Musketeers, you would be the D'Artagnan, you know, the very slick sort of feisty operator, or maybe Three Caballeros, but one of those two things in terms of the three drinkers. The Amazon Prime series obviously continues ever onwards. adsmith.com, I think, is a fantastic go-to website. AD, we've got two final critical questions for you. They are customer satisfaction ones, so they could be crucial. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the program today?
Have I had
a reasonably interesting Zoomer? Has it been okay for you? Do we get a smiley face or a thumbs up?
Of course you do. I've absolutely loved this. I just hope that we're able to crack a bottle of wine open together soon as well.
Well, that's the critical thing, of course, because the next one is, will you be kind enough to return, AD Smith? Will you come back and join us?
I would absolutely love to. That would make my week.
Superb. AD Smith, award-winning television presenter, of course, of The Three Drinkers on Amazon Prime, and indeed wine expert. Many thanks indeed. Take care now.
Thanks so much.
Hey there, everybody. I'm filmmaker, podcaster, California State Certified Violence Prevention Specialist, and podiatrist to the stars, Phil Lernis. And I've been proud to be a U.S. cultural correspondent for Alex Lefchuk's Midweek Drive program for many years now. And I congratulate you, dear listener, on having found this oasis of podcast audio magic in the cosmos. Or on your internet-equipped mobile device. Or your computer.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA, then everybody'd be serving like California. You'd see them wearing their baggies, Huarache sandals too, a bushy, bushy blonde hairdo, serving USA. Ventura County line,
inside USA.
Santa Cruz and
Trinidad, inside
outside
USA. Inside outside USA.
All over Manhattan,
inside outside USA.
And down Bohemian Way,
inside outside.
Everybody's got
serving
USA. We'll all be planning out a route. We're gonna take real soon. We're waxing down. Teacher, we're serving USA.
And Anchor Bay,
San Juan,
inside, outside USA.
Pacific Palisade,
inside, outside USA.
San Onofre,
inside, outside USA.
Redondo Beach, LA,
inside, outside USA.
All over the whole
inside, outside USA.
At Waimea Bay,
inside, outside.
Everybody's got serving
USA.
last week on the Midweek Drive, we were bemused. We were bemused by the fact that our ace vet was actually heading off to the beach. I, of course, hadn't realised that Newbury is, in fact, closer to the beach than I'd originally anticipated, feeling that Newbury was right at the heart of the country and therefore nowhere near the beach. I thought it was going to be a 4 or 5 hour drive at least. No, this is not the case. And so Zoe Jameson did manage to get to the beach last week. How was it, Zoe?
Yeah, it was so nice, thank you.
Well,
much warmer than I anticipated, actually.
Yeah, well, I mean, apparently there are loads of beaches near Newbury. 19, apparently. There's Cotswold Water Park and Beach. There's the Cotswold Country Park and Beach. There's the Solent Breezes Beach, the Hillhead Beach, the Calshot Beach, the Ruislip Lido, the Leon Solent Beach, the Leap Beach, the Stokes Bay Beach, the Eastleigh Beach, the South Sea Beach, the Thorny Island Beach, the Haley Island Beach, the West Wittering Beach, and, of course, Seacrow Bay, not to forget Milford-on-Sea Beach, Blackup Bracklesham Bay, Highcliffe Beach, or indeed, as mentioned, East Wittering. Which one did you go to, Zoe?
I actually went to West Wittering Beach.
You went to West Wittering Beach.
Interesting. Yeah, one of your mentioned ones. That's quite good, isn't it?
And you went west as opposed to east because it's just a case of I don't go east, I always go west.
Well, I'm not really sure. That's where I decided I was going to go.
That's perfectly okay. According to the magical world of data protection and aspects within that, the West Wittering Beach, a blue flag beach with wonderful views of Chichester, a sandy beach, high-quality bathing water, first-rate facilities, and there's room for everyone to enjoy the waves as kite surfers and windsurfers bounce off the break while little ones can paddle safely in the flat, glassy lagoons left at low tide. Did you paddle safely, Zoe, or was it a case of, don't be crazy, I got out the wind thing and was well away?
I didn't actually go for a dip, but yeah, it was very nice.
Well, there we are. I mean, one day, if ever we actually get back to a kind of pre-pandemic system, we might indeed do a location report there, just for the hay of it, you know. Beach Cafe apparently sells coffee, ice cream, and takeaway food, or indeed you're actually allowed to enjoy your own picnic on the area of grass. If you've forgotten your bucket and spade, and I can't imagine as a good vet that you would ever forget your bucket and spade, you never know when you're going to need them.
That's so true.
The beach shop apparently has everything you need to make the most of your day, so there we are.
You see we
might sort of not feature you as frequently as we'd like to, Zoe. We might sort of miss you on the Zoom calls and so on, but at least I feel we can actually share with the listener the importance of where Zoe heads off to, and in this particular case it was West Wittering, West Sussex, in England, because let's face it, you're not going to be allowed to go to Wales. You'd be turned back at the border.
No, they might spin you around.
Yeah. No might about it, they would. Unless, of course, you said, do you not know who I am? I am Zoe Jameson, the official veterinary correspondent for the Midweek Drive, in which case you'd be through easily. So what are you doing at present then, Zoe? What's the next exciting adventure? It's a case of, well, after West Wittering, frankly, everything in life seems such a bore.
Well, I'm actually on call this weekend, so I'm currently third in line at the minute, but then I become first at 2. But I'm quickly going to ride a friend of mine from work's horse. So I'm going to do that, hopefully, before I get any calls.
Yeah, well, that's good. Do you know what board game was invented in 1931, 89 years ago? And you may have actually played this, a famous board game invented by Alfred Butts, an unemployed American architect.
Monopoly?
No, Scrabble.
Oh, I was going to guess Scrabble, but then he said he was an architect, and then I thought...
Apparently he wasn't a very good Scrabble player and admitted that the game should have had fewer eyes. The original name, the original title he gave the game was Lexico, then it was called Alpha, then Crisscross Words, but Scrabble was effectively commercially successful in 1948. It became the board game we know and love in 1952 when the chairman of the New York department store Macy's became addicted to it on holiday. He placed a large order for the game and did a huge promotional campaign, and the rest, of course, took as history. It sold 4.5 million sets in the first year of its time in 1954, so that's more. 53% of homes in Britain have a set of Scrabble. Do you have one in Ireland, Zoe?
We do indeed, actually, yeah.
It was the first time I was introduced to Scrabble in Ireland, actually. Back in, let's say, probably the 70s. It was that sort of time where, on a cold winter's night in the McCormack farm that was actually there in just outside Sligo in Ballinafad, clearly no such thing as a television set, so you could settle down for Scrabble. Fair enough. That's fine. Celebrity Scrabble fans include Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston, Will Smith, Robbie Williams, Dame Elizabeth Taylor. Well, she's passed away now, of course. Kylie Minogue, Madonna, Sting, and Mel Gibson.
Gosh, lots of famous people.
Yeah, and just to actually help you, because when was the last time you played Scrabble, Zoe?
Oh, a while ago now.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously with a Z in there, it's important that I actually came to this. You might like to actually sort of just store this for future reference. The highest number of points that can be achieved on the first go, that's when there are no other letters on the board, is 126. And that would actually be Squeezy or indeed Quartzy. Because, of course, you'd also get that 50-point bonus if you used all seven letters in one go. Have you ever used that? Have you ever managed to get a 50-point bonus?
No, I'm not that good.
Mm-hmm. Most valuable words that you can make at Scrabble, again, might be worthwhile. Quizify. Do you know what quizify actually means?
No, I've no idea.
To cause to look odd. Quizify. Hey. It's like when you listen to one of these shows. Quizify. Of course. There's a whipjack. Have you encountered a whipjack? Did you see a whipjack when you were in West Wittering?
I didn't, no.
Well, just as well. Whipjack is a whining beggar who pretends to be a sailor.
Oh.
Yeah. Quizzery, we've already mentioned. Well, quizzery is a collection of quizzes or information pertaining to quizzes.
Okay.
And you might appreciate this from the veterinary perspective, Vizcatcher. Have you encountered a Vizcatcher before?
No. What's a Vizcatcher?
A South American burrowing rodent of heavy build.
Oh, no, I definitely don't want to encounter those.
Yeah. What you brought into the vet surgery today? It's a Vizcatcher.
No.
Again, it's part and parcel of the whole sort of system that's actually there. Here we are once again in partial lockdown, unlockdown, and so on. What's the general vibe around Newbury? Is it all positive? Is it a case of we don't care anymore? I mean, and frankly, if you're a child, you shouldn't be able to have anything to eat at all. So forget free food, just pay for it now.
I'm not sure about the greater world in Newbury, but I think we're quite lucky that our cases haven't been too dramatic.
I think exactly. Lincoln is tier one, Teesside is tier two. We haven't gone into full lockdown from that point of view, but you know, some of our students have tested positive, so they're socially isolating. We as a staff are continuing to wear our visors, our PPE, our masks and so on, and of course endeavour to deliver material online as well. So it just shows the strange and bizarre yet somehow wonderful world that we actually have. What does the next week have in store for you, Zoe? You're on call today. Do you get out and about again, or is it a case of, no, my life these days is quite simple. It's a case of help rescue animals, specifically horses, and that's it, really.
Well, hopefully tomorrow I actually have an exciting morning, and I'm going to go and visit Gizmo in his new home.
Hey, we haven't forgotten him. I wasn't going to mention him because it might have just been reopening old wounds, but yes, so you will see Gizmo in his new home.
Yeah, hopefully that will happen tomorrow morning.
And presumably that's not on the beach.
No, that's not on the beach. He doesn't live in the beach.
Well, I mean, it could be there. I mean, you could have actually said, Gizmo, I've always felt you secretly wanted to be a donkey, so there you are, here's the beach.
Yeah, I'm sure he might quite enjoy it, to be honest.
It's a thought, but maybe not. I'm sure he's quite happy actually where he is and so on. Have you kind of worked out the various strategies though? I mean, what are you going to do if you get that there and he basically says, who are you? You know, he sort of says, who are you? What's the person? Oh, yes, you're the person who gave me away. Is that right? Yeah, fine.
The key to Gizmo is just a packet of Polar Mints. He'll do anyone's friend for right. Polar Mints. So.
You see, once again, Zoe, you've got your finger on the proverbial pulse of sorting out the key elements of these systems. There's just nothing else we can actually do, apart from a squeeze and a couple of other sort of key interviews before we actually speak once again to Tessa Snart. So, I just thought, keeping the beach theme going, because why not indeed? We either have Circle in the Sand by Belinda Carlisle or Sandy Shore with There's Always Something There to Remind Me. Have either of those really, but Zoe Jameson, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the program today?
As always,
This is good, because we weren't sure whether you were going to be joining us, but you are, and we took a gamble, and you're there, and thank heavens all's well with that. Watch out for any of those South American rodents that might sort of decide to actually sort of
emerge.
Yeah, just be careful.
If we don't encounter this.
However, if nothing else, if you did actually sort of encounter it, you at least would be able to actually say, well, yes, I know that is a viz catcher, and impress all of your friends with respect to that. And just think, if you're ever in that line of having all seven letters of V-I-Z, C-A-C-H-A, you can actually say Vizcatcher, a South American burying rodent of heavy build. So that would actually give you 27 plus 50. That would give you 77 points there.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Champion in so many ways.
The wonder, up my sleeve.
The wonder horse. Well, you know, that's what it's all about, Zoe. You know, it's working through that. So I take it then you will return?
Yes, that would be nice.
And what would you like? Belinda Carlisle's Circle in the Stand or Sandy Shaw, There's Always Something There to Remind Me?
Back up in the stand, I think, please.
Sundown all around, walking through the summer sand. Waves crash, baby, don't look back. I won't walk away again. Oh, baby, anywhere you go, we are bound together. I begin, baby, where you end. Some things are forever. Circle in the sand, round and round, never ending. In the salty air, day breaks, my heart aches. I will wait for you right here. Oh, baby, when you look for me, can you see forever? I begin, baby, where you end. We belong together. Circle in the sand.
Taking us round to Tessa Snart. How are you, Tessa?
Hello, very well, and what a tune that was. I love that song.
Well, there we are, you see. Not my choice, but Zoe James's choice. So there we are.
Oh,
that's how it all connects.
Choice.
Yeah, there you go. Heart of Mine is your tune of the week. Away you go, Tessa. What's it all about?
Yeah, so this is the latest single from UK-based singer-songwriter Rebecca Jane. She released it earlier this month. And actually, it's going to be the first in a series of releases from the artist over the next year or so. And she actually, the track was written during a trip to Nashville last year and recorded with Miles Myerscough Harris, who is, of course, the son of BBC Radio 2's Bob Harris. So they recorded
your friend,
that.
Of course, Tessa.
Well, briefly met him.
It's all right. he always speaks very highly of you, Tess.
Oh, well, that's lovely to know. Yeah, so that was recorded at Whole Hog Media. And she, Rebecca, I can't talk today, Alex. It's because I talk too fast. But she beautifully blends country, folk, Americana and pop. So it's not what you would call traditional country. And her influences are of the likes of Eva Cassidy, Nora Jones, Joni Mitchell and Kacey Musgraves. And actually the single cover for Heart of Mine is very similar to Kacey Musgraves' pageant material. So see what you think of this particular number. I like it very much. So here it is, Heart of Mine.
Doors closing, it's 12:30. A fool's been waiting here, knowing all too well. A love don't leave you to pass the time, and hearts will wander if they are blind. They thought we passed the each time, but I'm lost in your love, I'm missing your touch, I'm caught in a landslide and you won't pick me up. I'm losing my mind, I'm wasting my time on a man who won't be loving this heart. Still burning, leaving love is hard to do, and I should blame you, but I don't want to. I'll just wish you all the best, and all this time. You're caught in a landslide and I won't pick you up. I've learned a few things, but one I will keep is knowing I won't make my heart so cheap. Knowing I won't make my heart so cheap.
To do with the cardiothoracic department, Heart of Mine, Rebecca Jane. Tessa, your challenge today, two artists.
What have you got for me?
We're going to throw in Katie O'Malley again with West Wild West. She was beaten off last week by the Shires, so she has a second chance. Or Lady A and Looking for a Good Time. Looking for a Good Time, Lady A or Katie O'Malley, where are you going to go?
Oh, I love Lady A. You do this every week.
Yes, I do.
How difficult. But I guess that's the point of it.
That's precisely so.
I'm going to go with Lady A.
There you go.
Go with the independent artist. I'm going with Lady A.
Clearly Jackson would agree with you when he's growing up so quickly these days. There we are. That's what it's all about. It's all because of the whole system. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Tessa Snart?
I have, thank you. It's always great to connect.
Are you back with us again in the very near future?
Definitely next week with another track.
There we are. And of course, Country in the Kitchen continues its podcast ethics from its own point of view. And life continues as well. Sorry, Katie, you've had two chances. But despite that you're once selected by Tessa, clearly she's just not interested at all. She's gone for Lady A.
Oh, no.
Hey, what you drinking, baby?
About me perfect, but I bet somebody's already told you that. Name your poison, name your passion, 'cause a boy like me just couldn't help but ask.
Keep on talking to me, baby, I'm hanging on your every word. Keep those drinks a coming, maybe we'll forget what we deserve.
Promise anything more than one night. Complicated situations only get worse in the morning light. Hey, I'm just looking for a good time.
But in a long, hard week, doing this 9 to 5, you're just a girl to get that off my mind. You should've worn that dress, you shouldn't dance like that. You got this little heart of mine in overdrive.
I sure love this conversation. The band is good, the music's loud. Would you get the wrong impression if I called us a cab right now?
Oh yeah.
How about, baby, we make a promise and not promise anything. Just looking for a good time.
Go ahead and lie to me and pull me close.
Tell me that you love me even if you don't.
The rule is don't you ever even talk about forever, but you never say never in life. How about, baby, we make a promise. Promise anything more than a one-night. Complicated situations only get worse in the morning light. Hey, I'm just looking for a good time. Hey, I'm just looking for a good time.
So clearly we are in the 21st century now. The pandemic is certainly with us. Maybe we're actually shifting into a whole range of other elements as well. And our children are spending nearly double their time in lockdown online. The online world is very much with us throughout. Now to talk about the changes that might be impacting on this in terms of pandemic parenting, a new report, we're delighted to welcome two fantastic individuals. First of all, a UK and Ireland director at Norton LifeLock, the wonderful Steve Wilson. How are you, Steve?
I'm very well. Thank
very
you.
Good. And then the awesomely talented, legendary in every true sense of the word, Dr. Extraordinary Professor Robert Winston, scientist, professor, presenter, of course, of BBC TV documentary Child of Our Time. Professor Winston, a delight to connect with you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Excellent. Let's come to you first, if we may, Robert. Is this a surprise? Is it a case of, well, okay, we knew that this was going to happen because clearly we've got an environment which is quite frightening out there in all sorts of ways. And, you know, maybe our children are becoming addicted to screens. Or is it just a case of it's a moral panic? People used to feel that we were spending too much time in gambling places and so on. It's a kind of standard thing we go through every so often as human beings.
No, I don't think it's a moral panic. I think it's a real issue. And I think it was a surprise to some extent because, whatever we like to say, nobody expected this to be quite so an important threat. I mean, in fact, although we as scientists have been warning government for a long time that a pandemic was extremely likely, I've sat on various committees in the last 20 years which were predicting that this would happen, that we didn't take the right protection. But to be fair, that would have happened with any government. But unfortunately, the National Health Service was not well provided at the beginning. And that's true, of course, of computing as well. We never thought about how we would manage in the average household. And what we're seeing, you're quite right, of course, is a sudden demand for much more computing, better internet connection, and, of course, some protection to make sure that we're not being, invaded by prying individuals and our children are not at risk of online harms. And that certainly isn't new. We've been worried about online harms for a long time, but the pandemic has actually focused attention on this much more than ever before.
Within the worlds of both higher education and indeed school education, the term blended learning has become very much to the fore today. And I suppose blended learning and teaching is a different form of BLT. But that's something, again, we had to move very quickly, very rapidly. I mean, and that is something which, certainly from my own experience, is the first time that as a human species, we've actually had to shift so drastically in terms of our behavioural habits. And again, seeking things like ensuring that our web connections are secure and our broadband is there and so on.
Well, up to a point, I think. I mean, don't forget, in 1347, it changed human behavior massively when we had the Black Death. And in fact, with that particular pandemic, you know, one-fifth of the population of Europe died, and in some parts it was half the population, and it ruined the economy for 100 years. We're not going to go through that with this pandemic because, of course, we have learned something, but we have been reminded just how vulnerable we are. And certainly, the technology we use actually can make us vulnerable as well. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's important to recognize that children are more at risk of bullying. We've seen that. We've seen that they're more at risk, for example, of getting depressed or certain mental health problems with the use of the computer for a long period of time. And we're seeing, for example, that some children are sleepless and more likely to have nightmares at nighttime, which is one of the reasons why we are quite concerned that, for example, parents are not supervising the computer enough always in the evening, and that we have to be aware that we need to have honest conversations with our children about how much they do use these devices. And that's something which Norton, which makes this software, LifeLock, which protects children, they're very concerned about this, and I think rightly.
Absolutely. And of course, if we go back to the Black Death, I think it was about 100 years after that Gutenberg came up with his printing press. So they didn't quite manage to synchronize those kind of things. At least we've actually got the web occurring at this time in terms of evolution, etc. Steve, turning to yourself, I mean, we've talked for a good number of years about keeping children safe online for understandable reasons. But how can parents effectively feel less guilty about this whole process of, you know, obviously spending more time online, safeguarding their own children and so on?
Yeah, I think it's about conversation. So, I mean, one of the things that leapt out from the survey that we've done is that a huge number of parents have actually been called out by their own children for their own habits with devices. So perhaps, you know, there are some practical things we can do, but perhaps we should put our own devices down at the dinner table and not be quite so obsessed with them and set a bit of an example. And I think, you know, in addition to that, it's about having a conversation and setting and sticking to house rules, not just for the parents, but for the children, you know, depending on the age and maturity of the children, the relationship you have with them. You know, open up a conversation about what they're doing. You know, how many hours a day are they on their devices? You know, we're seeing in this survey 9 hours a day, which is a shocking amount of time. But actually ask your children, do they realize they're on that long? What are they looking at? Are they okay with that? Do they feel comfortable? And then set some house rules for how much time they should have and what they should look at, and be open about the online risks. And of course, you know, there's plenty of resources to help you. You know, there's trusted security solutions to back up those rules. And there's lots of tips and tricks available to help parents get through this period.
And of course, this survey was actually taken over 5 European countries, the Netherlands, France, Germany, and the United Kingdom from that perspective. So, I mean, it is something which in our kind of Western culture, this is impacting. I mean, Robert, just returning to yourself again, are things going to change, or have we moved into a situation whereby, I heard a wonderful phrase yesterday, the COVID dividend of actually sort of being good for the planet and spending less time on the road and so on will have benefits. But the flip side is we'll be spending many more hours online.
Yes, I think the interesting thing, actually, you mentioned you didn't mention Italy, by the way, that's the other country we looked at. I think the interesting issue with our study is that really what impressed me very much was that all these developed countries in Europe were very similar. I mean, there were some slight differences, but in fact, the differences were not as marked as the similarities. And so this is a problem which most countries are facing, where, of course, education, you know, clearly there's, on the whole, a pretty high standard of education of people. So I think that is also, to be fair, our study did show that 6 out of 10 families found that, you know, their children, they were fairly confident their children would use these things better. And I think that's, you know, I think that's important. And we were rather better at doing this than some other countries, though I don't think it was a particularly significant difference. So, yeah, you're right. There are going to be new issues that we're going to face, and I don't think we fully understand them. We do know, for example, that using a screen for a very long time in a given day is not particularly good either for your mental health or your physical health if you continue to do this over long periods, several days or several weeks running. And I think, you know, there's some evidence, for example, amongst adults who have been locked down and isolated, that things like heart disease are going to be more likely to occur after several months of lockdown. So this is something which we need to think about, because, of course, it's partly due to the lack of exercise. But I think to come back to children, because we're interested in children here, and the issue, of course, is that when children are at primary school, their brain is very plastic, and therefore they're very, very influenced by their environment. And that influence may last them a long time through childhood, right through to adult life. And certainly, if you make children very anxious as small children, we know from all sorts of studies that an anxious child is much more likely to be depressed when they're in their 20s and 30s. So I think we have to recognize that the pandemic does produce new threats, because, of course, anxiety is much more likely in families. And therefore, how parents communicate, to come back to what Steve was saying, becomes really important. And I think we can't emphasize enough the need for parents to do this, because in the long term, they may be actually promoting healthy life in their children when they become adults.
Precisely, the whole acronym of FEAR being false expectations appearing real, but obviously leading all sorts of other challenges, springs to mind. Steve, finally, how can people find out more about this Norton Lock Life survey? Where would you point people to actually find out further information about what we've been talking about today?
So on Norton.com, we have a dedicated child safety section. There's lots of tips and tricks for parents about how to manage a situation.
Steve Wilson, UK and Ireland Director at Norton LifeLock, and Professor Robert Winston. I like to say Renaissance man, Professor Winston, actually. I think that'd be good, because, I mean, you are a Renaissance man. It's fantastic. Well,
you mentioned Gutenberg.
Exactly. It all fits together. Many thanks indeed. And be well, gentlemen. Thank you.